Amen. Good to be on. Amen. You know, I was very touched. We were just praying for this session. And you know, the Lord's heart for all of us, dear brothers and sisters, is to normalize us. Hallelujah. We are branches in the vine. And the Lord's heart for us is to become normal branches. Who are abiding, enjoying the life juice that's in the vine, and who are bearing fruit. Amen. So we have a very sweet prayer for each one of you, that this year each one would bear fruit, and that fruit that would remain. Amen. And dear saints, it's altogether possible. Amen. In fact, once we find the secret, which is a little bit, we'll get into this message, it is spontaneous and effortless. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
It is. You know why? Because we're branches.
Amen.
And we just simply need to abide in the vine.
Amen.
So looking at now the outline here. So the how about the overarching line? How about we read that with a strong spirit? Okay.
Living. Fruit-bearing life.
Amen. So right there in that very title, I personally got already a lot of perfecting. It says living. A fruit-bearing life. You know, I don't know about you, when, you know, we consider fruit-bearing, the matter of preaching the gospel, bringing people to Christ, I too also get a fear and trepidation, believe it or not. And so when I consider about the matter of fruit-bearing, in my concept, the first thing that comes to my mind is an activity. Like some of us are going to be going out this afternoon. And this is wonderful. We're going to go and we're going to speak the gospel. We're going to find some students and we're going to preach to them. We're going to minister to them. We're going to overflow Christ to them. And so then, therefore, this afternoon, I put on a gospel hat. It's gospel time. I exercise my spirit and I go. And that's wonderful. We need it. I don't belittle that at all. But it doesn't say just a activity or something that we try to do, but it's a living, dear saints. And so this is a big help to me personally, because you know, this whole line is on the matter of our practice. And how we practice actually is determined very much by our concept. What's our view when we talk about fruit bearing? If our concept is as being a kind of activity and something that we must do, and I must bring someone to Christ, and we can do many things. And if we find ourselves, we can find ourselves eventually getting either tired or disappointed or discouraged because we didn't get the results that we expected. And so we give up. But if we begin to see, it's not about my doing, but it's about my living.
Amen.
The Lord wants, again, a kind of living.
Amen.
You know, I know there's a whole other message that focuses on the matter of the living. But if our concept can be changed, then we don't have to be in the realm of doing and trying to do something, but we can be in the realm of learning to be a normal branch in the vine. And so now we come to this message, which, how about we read the title of this message? Fruit, bearing fruit by enjoying the riches of Christ's life. So the focus in this message, I want you to circle, is by enjoying.
Amen.
Oh, being a normal branch in the vine is a life of enjoying.
Amen.
Circle it. Enjoying.
Amen.
This is a reminder to myself. This is a message of enjoying.
Amen.
A fruit-bearing life is a life of enjoying the riches of Christ's life.
Amen.
Oh, may the Lord loose the enjoying. It's quite ironic. It's not the doing, but it's the enjoying. Now, let's look at Roman numeral 1. Let's read that together. According
to the gospel of John, the gospel of life, preaching the gospel is a matter not of mere speaking or teaching, but of bearing fruit. It depends upon the riches of the life within us.
Yeah, the utterances in these outlines are very sweet, very precious. So, you know, as it was brought out yesterday, the gospel of John gives you the final word. On this matter, you know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it tells us to go, to disciple the nations, to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. So there is this charge, right? for all of us to go. But then the Gospel of John gives us the final word. And that final word is a matter of life. So, in fact, it may be very good. How about we look at John 15, 16? How about we open that up? And this is John's final word on the matter of preaching the gospel. Is John 15, 16.
Amen.
So once we got it, let's read that together with a strong spirit.
Amen.
You,
me,
but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Amen.
So go forth.
Amen.
And what? Bear fruit.
Amen.
So this is altogether a matter of in life and of life. Amen. Let's look, go ahead and look at point A. Let's read that together. A, when
branches receive a sufficient supply of life juice, they bear fruit as the overflow of the inner life supply.
Amen. So circle the word sufficient supply. And before I develop that, there's one point there in the Roman numeral. It says it depends upon the riches of the life within us. And so, dear saints, you know, it does not depend on us. This is really good news. I had many times of struggling before the Lord. Lord, I'm just the wrong person. My disposition, you know, I'm so bound, so quiet. I'm afraid of rejection, as the brother shared. I'm just the wrong person. Amen. You know what? We're all the wrong person. It doesn't depend on us. Who cares what we are in our human life? You know, we have another life. That life that we have received is a fruit-bearing life. So here it says it depends on the riches of the life within us. That is so good news. You know, the verses in, and I'll just read it to you again. It's worth reading again. John 15, 4 and 5, right? It says, the Lord says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches.
Amen.
He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing."
Amen.
So one little secret is we can't do anything. But we just need to be a branch who abides in the vine.
Amen.
And so now going back to A, as you circled the word sufficient supply. When you are sufficiently supplied, one thing that comes out of it is you overflow. You can't help it.
Amen.
You can't help but overflow.
Amen.
And this is a very good exercise. You know, as I'm sharing some points, it makes it very easy for me now to have students to give testimonies. And I'm personally getting perfected by that. And by hearing their testimonies, which you'll get to hear in a second, is that actually the kind of a normal branch is a branch that is being sufficiently supplied to a point of overflowing. You know that you're being sufficiently supplied when you can't help but you need to overflow something. You know, this morning I did that with one of the brothers. I just felt I enjoyed something in the Word, and I just said, "Oh, we escaped." You know, from the verses of 2 Peter 1:4, "Oh, we escaped out of the corruption that's in the world by lust." And I just wanted to say it, escaped. I had to develop it because there's an overflow out of some enjoyment. So now I'm going to ask two saints, I think it was Thomas and Shannon, who are going to come up and share with us about their experience of overflowing out of enjoyment. So, did you want to go first?
Yes.
You can hold it either way.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so I just have two experiences, and the first one is while I was going to a community college, me and my friend and I, we would go to a language lab, and the director there, we would often talk to her. And so through this, we found out that she was a Christian. But we didn't talk that much about that. But later, I got a job there. And so through that, because we both knew we were Christian, we started talking about God and we started talking about the Lord. But I quickly realized that she would talk about knowledge and she would ask questions that would lead to knowledge. So I had the experience, because I was being supplied, I was able to overflow life to her. So during that time, I was in my home meeting, I was in the Bible studies, and I had personal appointments on that campus. And through this, I was just abiding in the vine. Amen. And I was endeavoring just to get in the Word with all the saints. Amen. And so when she would ask questions about knowledge, I would just tell her about life.
Amen.
And I believe that she got fed.
Amen.
Amen. And then secondly, I had a professor in my biology class. And through his speaking, I could tell that he did not believe in evolution. And so I wondered if he was Christian. And later he asked me if I was a Christian, and I just said that I was, but I didn't say anything else. But another sister was faithful to speak, and she was having a Bible study with another sister, and that professor came by. And so she just overflowed the life that was in her. And she was able to speak to him, give him life, and invite him to a Bible study.
Amen.
So he started coming, and then he started coming to the home meetings. He started coming to the Lord's Day meetings, and he just started to meet with the saints a little bit.
Amen.
So now he had to move away, but he even Skyped in for a college meeting, and he sometimes comes to visit just to be with the saints. So it really is not a matter of us just trying on our own, but if we're just abiding in the vine, and if we're in the life flow, then we will automatically overflow life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I had just started a new job, and I felt burdened for my coworkers, you know, because at my last job I hadn't done a good job of overflowing, and you know I was just coming into the church life, and I went to my first college retreat, and it was on Ezekiel, and we covered the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electrum, and I remember just being so touched that this was my spiritual history. And so after the college retreat, I went to work, you know, and I was talking to a coworker. I thought, Lord, I want this to be different, you know, and so I just started speaking about I just told him about electrum, you know, and I was like, brother, we have the electrum, you know, and like the silver is the redemption of Christ, and the gold is the divine life, and I couldn't quite articulate all the points, and so I was texting the serving one. I was like, brother, what does this mean again? But I was just so excited to share this life within me. So, amen.
Amen. Very good.
Amen.
So yeah, we just need to overflow our enjoyment.
Amen.
Even if they can't even understand what you're saying. Just by the sheer enjoyment, they'll get something. And one thing I'm just encouraged by this is that this is a kind of living where there's not fruit that comes out of it. Shana mentioned that there was some result of one's continuing.
Yeah.
But I think the brother that Thomas shared over, not necessarily they're coming into the church life, but you're just that kind of person.
Yeah.
You just can't help but overflow.
Yeah.
And eventually some will begin to receive.
Yes.
Right? In this kind of living, then spontaneously, there will be the fruit that will come forth.
Amen.
Amen. So point B, how about brothers, read that.
What the Lord requires in his economy is the genuine growth of life. And out of this growth, we have an overflow of life, which is fruit that remains.
Amen. Eventually, there needs to be the fruit that remains. So I asked Brother Adam to come to share a little encouraging testimony along this line.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So a couple years ago, coming back onto campus after we had a college retreat, and so we were all pretty filled and poured out for the Lord, and there wasn't really anything on our minds other than that. And I got into a class, and I just had this burden for the class, and began to pray for everyone in there, not really knowing, you know, what would happen or anything. But by the following week, we got put into groups, and so we started to meet these people in our groups, and the prayer, you know, kind of continued on. And then we met, we had our first day to meet together. And so we met up in this lounge, and I was already there with Scott and some of the brothers, and we call it the base. It's a good place. So we were in the Word, and I just kept reading, and then one of them showed up early. His name's Michael. And he said, "Oh, you're a Christian." And I said, "Yep, yeah, I sure am." And but I was kind of busy, so I just kept reading. But by the time we got done with our meeting, he had all these questions. He's like, "So what do you do? Where are you from? What do you, you know?" And little did I know, this whole time, he testified later that in class he just had this feeling, there's something about this guy, and I was clueless. And so we started talking about it all, and I said, "We have a Bible study. Do you just, you know, you want to come?" He said, "Yes." And so I think it was the next day, and he came, and we started talking about a field of wheat, you know, the grain of wheat falling into the earth. And he was a Christian, but he was hungry, and he was looking. And he didn't know how to describe it when we overflowed, but he just was so happy. He said, "A field of wheat!" And so he immediately met some of the other saints who kind of cherished him and nourished him, and he jumped right in, and he's been in ever since, and he is remaining fruit.
Amen. We all love Michael. And Adam, too. Amen. Yeah, amen. So one word to get out of this is it's normal, brothers and sisters. When we're enjoying the Lord Jesus as the branch in the vine, and we just overflow, even as Adam testified, even others can see something in us that we're not even aware of. There's something shining. Why? Because you're in the enjoyment of the Lord and His Word.
Yeah,
so good. Amen. So look at Roman numeral 2. It says, leading people to salvation does not involve things that are miraculous. Rather, it is according to the law of fruit-bearing. Circle that word, law of fruit-bearing. Very unique expression. Not miraculous, but according to a law. And then point A says, fruit-bearing is not miraculous in nature. Rather, it is according to the law of life. That utterance here is so helpful, dear saints. Actually, there's a little key to having a fruit-bearing life, is we have to see, fundamentally, there is what it's called here, the law of fruit-bearing at play. And it's not according to a miraculous nature. There are a lot of examples, but the Lord uses the example of the vine to talk about the matter of bringing people to Christ. And the vine operates according to a fundamental law, according to its life. And, you know, our God is a God of law. It's amazing. Right. You know, what I mean by law is, like in the law of nature, is that once you know the certain conditions, you spontaneously there will be a result.
Yeah.
And it's repeatable. It will happen again and again. As long as you get the conditions right, you know what's going to happen. The law of gravity is very simple.
Yeah.
We know, every time I let go, that pin's going to drop again and again.
Yeah.
I don't have to do a thing.
Right.
It just happens. I give it the right condition, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Very simple.
Right.
Sorry, I have a physics background. I appreciate that. however, here is something particular. It's the law of life.
Amen.
And so, you know, those who farm and those who garden have to really pay attention to the particular life. In order to, you got to give it the right conditions in order for it to bear fruit. You know, I was talking to, I have an apple tree in my backyard, and I was talking to another saint who also has an apple tree, and their apple tree bears a lot of fruit. My apple tree doesn't do so good. And so this person was telling me, well, you got to fertilize. You got to get the right kind of fertilizer for the apple tree. You got to mulch around it. You got to dig it up. Oh, really? Wow. And then you got to water it, the right kind of amount of water. It needs sunlight. It needs all these kind of right conditions. They're like requirements. And if you meet those requirements, spontaneously, there'll be the fruit. Even they're so into it, I was really impressed. And I'll probably bring up, they have a net around the whole tree. Because I have a problem, is the stupid squirrels come and take one bite out of the apple tree, apple, and drop it on the ground. So by the end of the season, when the apples are ready to go, I have no apples left. The squirrels ate them all. But they have a whole net. I mean, me, I have a squirrel's nest in my apple tree. So there's a problem. So the point is that you gotta know the life that you're working with.
Yeah.
You meet the requirements of that life, fruit is guaranteed. And this is what is wonderful. And so we have to know, okay, we have the divine life.
Amen.
This life is God Himself.
Amen.
Right? So we're a branch, we're in this vine. And so, you know, what's wonderful about this life? It is a fruit-bearing life.
Amen.
This life is not satisfied until it is able to overflow into another vessel. Right? This is our God. Our God is a dispensing God.
Amen.
And for this message, it's here. It's very good. Point B, you can read. In order to experience the law of life, we must fulfill certain requirements. And all these subpoints are very good. I like you to underline. It's in the same. It starts the same way, each of the 4 points.
Yeah.
It says, we need to abide in the Lord.
Amen.
Underline that. What's the requirement? We need to abide in the Lord.
Amen.
So I'll read to you. In point one, we need to abide in the Lord and absorb His supply.
Yeah.
Circle absorb.
Yes.
Circle supply.
Amen.
Amen. There's so much here. I have to take care of, I think, manage my time well. But one thing I was personally touched is that I think by now you hopefully have some impression that you are a branch in the vine. I mean, it takes a revelation to see that. And when you see it, then you have to stop. You'll stop all you're doing, and you'll take care of abiding.
Yeah.
One thing I was impressed, and the Lord touched me, is yes, it is a divine fact that we are a branch in the vine, but we are not like a physical branch in a vine that's not a person in itself. It is that we are a living person, and so we have to make a choice to choose to abide in the vine.
Yeah.
It's possible that we would not make the choice to enjoy the Lord. Every morning when we wake up, we have a choice. Where are we going to go? And so the Lord touched me. I choose to enjoy the Lord. I choose to call on the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
So as a branch, we choose to abide in the vine.
Amen.
To enjoy the life supply. Point two, it says, we need to abide in the Lord and absorb the supply of God the Father as the soil that provides the nutrients and the supply of the Spirit as the rain that waters and refreshes. Oh, so much here. I was personally enjoying that the Father is likened to the nutrients in the soil. And so we, our plants, have been rooted in Christ. And in Christ is all the riches of our Father.
Amen.
And so the Lord was pointing to me is that one of the secrets, one of the conditions for the fruit-bearing life is that we need to spend much secret time with the Father.
Amen.
Hidden, personal, private time.
Amen.
To absorb all the riches. Like it says in Matthew 6:6. It was so good. It was brought up in the morning revival line already. Right? When you pray, you enter into your private room. And I was really touched is that there in the private room, your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So we need to come before the Father and let Him see us and spend time to absorb Him, enjoy Him. And then there's verse, all these lines are actually all connected, dear saints.
Amen.
And so like the previous line about the matter of exercising our spirit to muse upon Him in His Word, I mean, that's how we enjoy His riches, right? Just as the brothers are bringing out wonderfully, is that we need to muse upon the Lord in His Word to get the life juice, to be that cow that chews the cud.
Amen.
This is all related to also to fruit bearing. We have to be ones enjoying the Word.
Amen.
Right? Mastigating all the riches that are in the Word. And then there will be something that will come flowing out.
Amen.
So good. Then point three says, we need to abide in the Lord.
Amen.
And absorb God as our light.
Yes.
And the Spirit as our air.
Amen.
Isn't that good? The outline just brings out, God is our light. The Spirit is our air.
Amen.
The Spirit is the rain.
Yes.
Right? The Father is the nutrients in the soil.
Amen.
Everything we need is in the triune God.
Amen.
So we have to abide in Him.
Amen.
In our experience, many times when we're in the Word, God as light shines.
Yeah.
Shines into our being. And there are many precious dealings. Maybe the Lord would touch things.
That's right.
We'll come back to this. And expose maybe a certain sin, a certain offense in our conscience.
Right.
Though this is very key.
Yeah.
If we're going to bear fruit, our conscience has to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the light of the Lord. And then point four says, we need to abide in the Lord and live in the church as the garden of God so that we can be nurtured and protected. Isn't that good? I love that verse, Isaiah. I just want to read this with you all. Isaiah 27, 2 and 3 says, in that day, a vineyard of wine, sing of it. I, Jehovah, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone visit harm upon it. By night and by day I guard it. So the church life is a vineyard of wine. That's where we get the enjoyment. Wine signifies life and enjoyment.
Amen.
And so it's a vineyard. And so when we grow plants, we want to put them in a garden. I saw the saints that had wired mesh to keep the birds out. Right? Here is the Lord protects us. And the Lord nurtures us. So the matter of fruit bearing, one key is that we have to be in the church life.
Yeah.
Enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
And here the Lord will protect us and nurture us. Here I have asked Nathan. I think he approached me and had something to share. Yeah, why don't you come up, Nathan?
Praise the Lord, saints. We have to abide in the vine.
Amen.
When I was younger, I was really impressed with my father. He had a, you know, just incredible knowledge of everything in the Bible, and I kind of tried to take that way and fill myself with knowledge. But like Brother Michael shared in one of the previous messages, I ended up just killing everybody that I was preaching the gospel to, and I wasn't bearing any fruit. But that's not the way. The way is by enjoying the riches of Christ's life. It depends upon the riches of the life within us. In January, I moved to Denton, and my heart and my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, I want to be in your church life, and I just want to dive right in. So I was going to every single meeting I could. I think Monday and Saturday is the only time I wasn't going to the meeting at night. So I was just getting infused. I was in the church life. I was being nurtured and protected. And eventually, I ran into this lady I used to work with and actually go to school with. And I knew she was a believer back then, but then she was telling me she was an atheist. But she still had an interest, and so I invited her to one of the home meetings. And in that home meeting, Brother Tom was actually talking to her, and he said, you know, I think you're actually a Christian. I don't think you're an atheist. It was a really funny conversation. But, in point four, it says, we need to abide in the Lord and live in the church as the garden of God so that we can be nurtured and protected. So if you're not in the church life, you're not going to be nurtured, and also you're not going to be protected. And so we can be carried away. So I just invited her. I was enjoying the Lord, and I just invited her to the home meetings. I gave her contact information to the sisters, and eventually she was in the Lord's Day. On her first Lord's Day, she was prophesying, and then eventually she was seeking corporate living. So if we abide in the Lord and abide in the church life, then we can bear fruit in a normal way.
Amen.
Very good.
And so Nathan's testimony brings up a really good point about being in the church life and bearing remaining fruit is not an individual matter.
Yeah.
Eventually we see that the way to bear remaining fruit is by a church life in which all the brothers and sisters enter in to supply the life needed for that fruit, that person to become remaining in the church.
Amen.
And so eventually we need each other.
Yeah.
We need the supply. We need each other's portion.
Yeah.
For the fruit to become remaining. So don't think it's like, oh, it's all up to me. Here I go. I'm going to do it. No, the branches are part of a vine.
Amen.
And so, and even it says that branches love one another.
Yes.
Right? So there is a church life.
Yes.
A vine life.
Amen.
Right? Among the branches. And so when we're in the church life and we're enjoying the Lord, we overflow. Many times it's spontaneous. You just bring them to the saints. You bring them to a home. And eventually others have a portion that can shepherd that maybe we don't have, but others do.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So point C says, when there is the proper cooperation, much fruit can be born. Thus, we all must learn to responsibly cooperate with the law of fruit bearing. As long as we labor according to this law, it will be very easy. And you get that, saints? Very easy to bring people to the Lord.
Amen.
Aletheia, I think I was going to ask her to come and share about this matter of cooperating with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, so I had two, what am I trying to say, about being in the body. About 2 years ago, I had a classmate in my very first college class, and we had to do a project together. And so, you know, I was in the Bible studies twice a week, and then I had a home meeting. So I was in the, you know, in this flow of the Lord, right? And so naturally, I just, you know, asked him if he wanted to come to the Bible study. But he said he didn't want to come because he had kind of a language barrier. He was from Ethiopia, had only been in the States for a few months. But so I continued to pray for him during coordination. I brought it up to my serving ones, and we prayed. And then about two semesters ago, we had a kind of a break between our classes that overlapped. So, you know, I would say hi to him and stuff. And then he told me he wanted to be part of a club. And so I told him, oh, we have Christians on campus, so you can join our club. And he was like, okay, I can join. And so that was kind of the end of that semester. So he actually joined last semester, and he started coming to our Bible studies, and then he started having a time with one of the serving ones. And he prayed to receive the Lord during that time. So it was just really sweet to see that, you know, I had my portion in bringing him there, but it was a body matter of praying and of, you know, bringing him to the Lord. So about 3 years ago, actually, we had someone come to our Bible studies, but then he kind of stopped coming. And two semesters ago, I found out that I had a class with him, and it was communications. So in that class, you get really close to everyone in the class. So I knew him pretty well, and everybody in that class knew that I was a Christian. So he came to me one time before class started, and he asked me, you know, he said, you know, I'm doing everything very good, but what if I do something bad? Can I still go to heaven? Like, and so I had been just recently, I don't remember if it was in an appointment with sisters or if it was at a conference, but I had been reading over how it's not about good and bad, but it's about the tree of life. And so I was able to just share that with him and to flow out, you know, you need to have the Lord's life in you. And so he really appreciated that. But then he started coming to the home meetings in my home. But during the summer, he had an internship in D.C., so he obviously had to go to D.C. But my parents knew a family there and got him connected. And so he started going to the home meetings in D.C. And then he went to a college conference there as well. And so it was really a body matter, you know. It wasn't just me, you know, speaking to him, but it was the entire body, you know, even in different areas, you know. And so it was really sweet to see that bearing fruit is a body matter. It's not individualistic.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, it's a body matter.
Amen.
One really sweet point with here is, I really enjoy, my brother brought up, is that we just need to cooperate with the Lord, with where we're at and what we can do.
Amen.
There's this verse in Revelation 3:8, I'll read to you, maybe you know it. I know your works. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And in that note on little power, it says, what pleases the Lord is not our doing much for him, but our doing our best for him with what we have. You know, maybe all we can do is just invite someone to a home meeting. But you're enjoying the Lord, and your invitation is unique. No one else can do that, but you can. You bring that person to a home meeting, just like our sister testified. Others can come in and begin the shepherd and pick up. And that one can become remaining fruit.
Yes.
You just need to do what you can with what you have. All of us have different capacities, but we just need to enjoy, keep enjoying. The focus is enjoying the Lord, and then what you can do, what you can on the campus. Wonderful. Okay, Roman numeral 3 says, we need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit. How about sisters A?
To abide in the Lord means that there is no insulation or distance between us and Him. There is nothing between us and the Lord.
Amen. And brothers B?
It is possible to preach and still be insulated from Christ. But to have the overflow of the inner life, we must abide in the Lord.
This is really a precious point. It just takes a little insulation to break off the flow. There's different, examples like with copper wire, electricity. It just takes a little cloth, a little thin line, and the electricity flow can be blocked. I think Emmy Barber once said, it just takes a little leaf that would block a star. And so in our experience, it doesn't take much. It could be a little offense in our conscience. Maybe something we said to a brother, or something that we did, a failure, and something with the world or with flesh, and suddenly the flow isn't there. And you may still outwardly try to speak to somebody, but it does. There's no blessing there. And in fact, I was touched by, maybe some of you may not know, but Watchman Nee himself has a testimony along this line. It was really good. I'd just like to briefly share it. Is that when he was in college, after he got saved, he was very burdened to bring the gospel to his classmates and those around him. Mm-hmm. And he would go and he would faithfully speak the gospel to all his classmates, yet no one responded to his preaching at all. And there was once, Miss Groves was one of the sisters that perfected him. He asked him a question, have you borne any fruit? And he had to drop his head and he felt really ashamed. And he says, I preached the gospel, but no one has gotten saved. And so she said this, you are unable to lead people to the Lord because there is something between God and you. It may be some hidden sins not yet completely dealt with, or something for which you are indebted to someone. And so Watchman Nee's testimony is, I admitted that such things existed. And she asked if I was willing to settle them immediately, and he answered, I was willing. In addition to that, she made this precious point, because he would just randomly talk to people, and she said this, it's not right. You must speak to God first before you speak to people. And she encouraged him to make a list, a name list, and eventually it was 70, right, on his name list. And so Watchman Nee, he went to deal with the matter of the sins. He had to make recompense with people, apologies, in order to deal with the blockages in his conscience. And then he began to pray faithfully over that list of 70. And then when there's opportunity, he would then speak to them. And the testimony is that all but one of those 70 got saved within several number of months. Isn't that something? And eventually I heard, right, the 70th also got saved later on. So quite a testimony. And so anyways, it's very important, dear saints, is that we should keep nothing between us and the Lord. Right? As we are contacting Him, He may shine. We should faithfully deal with any blockages so there can be a clear flow in our being, and then this life can flow out of us. Amen. Okay. Let's go ahead. Sister C.
As we contact people on the campuses, we must have the deep sense and the full realization that you are abiding in the Lord. When you talk to people, you must talk to them by abiding in Him.
Brothers D.
When we abide in the Lord, He speaks in our speaking, and our speaking is His speaking. This is the imparting of life. The overflow of life from within.
Just real brief, I was touched. We have to take care of our speaking. It's not just when we're preaching the gospel, but in our daily life with our friends and even the brothers and sisters we're close with. We got to keep abiding in the Lord in all our speaking. Many times there might be things that come out of my mouth that causes life to leak. But if we're exercising, that's why it's a part of our living, we have to exercise, dear saints, to abide in the Lord in all our speaking.
Yeah.
Even our day, like we can be ones ministering life. Even just talking about human things, but you can minister life because you're abiding in the Lord. And then point E, together. We all must
go to reach people, whether we have the overflow of life or not. We must still contact people. If we do not reach people, we will have no way of knowing where we are.
Yeah, this is a very helpful point. So when we're talking, many times you have this experience, is that if we're just faithful to reach people, to speak, we will know immediately where we're at.
Yeah.
You know? And in fact, I have a brother who has some testimony along this line, Nehemiah. So why don't you come up, Nehemiah?
Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this semester I've been having an experience of kind of long-term fruit bearing. So in my freshman year, I had a class with a guy, his name is Adam, and we found out at the very last day of class that we had been in the same volleyball group in high school. And then we didn't have a class together for another year. But then this semester, we had another class together, we had circuits. And so on the very first day, I knew who was going to be in the class, so I was praying for him. So the very first day, we ended up talking together for about 45 minutes about predestination versus free will. And he's like, this is like the topic he talks about almost every time. But we had this chance just to talk with each other, and I had been recently dealing with some things with the Lord, so I was pretty supplied. So it was really good. So I ended up being able to invite him to an open house, and he ended up coming. And he really enjoyed it. He even prayed. He was already a Christian. He'd already been saved, but he prayed again, and it was really good. And out of that, we started having Bible studies and appointments. He started having an appointment with one of the serving ones for like 2 hours every Thursday. And then he started going to a Bible study that I even wasn't able to go to because I had a class. So he was like jumping into all these things. But then throughout the semester, there were some times when I was not faithful to deal with some things. And some times when I was just, my time was not for the Lord. And so I still had a class with him 2 days a week for an hour and 50 minutes, I think, every class. And sometimes there was just not a flow that was happening. So it was, sometimes I would try to speak, but it would be very difficult to speak anything. So we would just talk about other stuff, like whatever stuff in the world that we liked. But then whenever I was in the supply, it was easy to speak something. And even there are some times when I started reading the All-Inclusive Christ with a couple of brothers, a couple of the serving ones, and we were just reading that, and it was really enjoyable. Then when we started the Economy of God, we started pray reading every verse that was mentioned, and it was so enjoyable. And so after those times, whenever I would see him, it was just easy to enjoy the Lord and speak things. So that was my experience throughout the semester. Then this summer, I was able to go to his house and meet his family and everything. And so then we mostly just hung out. But then I was still supplied, so I had a little bit of chance to speak something about the church. And so it was just really good to be able to see, like, sometimes when I'm not supplied, I can't supply others. I can't speak Christ. And so because of that, I could see, oh, Lord, I'm not in you right now. So that gives me more chance to turn. Amen. But then when I am supplied, it's so easy to speak. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. So we have to stay in the supply.
Amen.
Even when we get caught in not being in the supply, it can be a learning. And what do? We just turn back. And we come back to abiding in the Lord. Okay, how about we read the focus together?
In order to bear fruit, we need to cooperate with the law of fruit bearing by abiding in the Lord and enjoying the riches of His life.
Amen. Well, I think that's good. How